Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But we're also streaming on the Odyssey app, where it's free to download, free to listen. We're also streaming on iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio, as well as both of those apps. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Thank God it's Monday. Shout out to WeWork, as always. My company is now will be each and every Monday as we get back onto our regular schedule. He's the MC of Fun and Games here in Memphis. He's the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. You can hear that every Thursday on the Jeff Calkins Show at 10:30. Also, don't forget about this Saturday at the Caesars Sportsbook at the Horseshoe Casino. It's the College Football Frenzy Trivia live event, noon until 3 at the Horseshoe in Tunica. Gabe Kuhn, Connor Dunning will be there with him as well. The website, CerritoEntertainment.com, on X at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings, salutations, everybody. Yeah, this is the Monday I wanted, Jeffrey. When we talked about switching to Mondays, I was hoping we would get this Monday, the Monday following Memphis defeating Arkansas, and here we are. It's an exciting time to be a Memphis sports fan or media member. It's a really exciting time to be a sports fan this week.
Yeah,
right?
This week is an awesome week of sports.
We'll talk about that, but obviously, what a Saturday. On this now rainy, cold first day of fall. It feels like fall out there.
It does feel like fall. So we'll get into our overreactions. Of course, we'll start with that. We'll get into our TV timeout during the next segment. I don't think WrestlePalooza went that well. I know it didn't go that well for me because I tried to watch it and couldn't. We did also get some information about inside the NBA on TNT. Also kind of a bummer of an update about Kevin Harlan on the NBA. So we'll talk about that. We'll get into the list. We've had breaking news that Bruce Pearl is stepping down as the head coach at Auburn. Stephen Pearl will take over, and the strong suspicion, I don't know if he's announced it yet,
that he's stepping up to a different role,
that he is most likely running for the Senate seat that will be vacated by Tommy Tuberville when he runs for governor. So
I thought he was performing the Super Bowl halftime show.
No, we did get some news on that as well. You'll update us on that.
The rumors and the odds, yeah, they're shifting in a certain direction, and it's not Taylor Swift.
But the rumor has it. It would be the hint for that one. We'll get into the list during hour number two. We've also had a big week of NFL, lots more injuries to get into. We also had the official leaking of the SEC annual opponents.
So tomorrow's the official announcement.
And then tomorrow's the television show.
The broadcast. Yeah.
Correct.
But they have leaked it, so we do know what they are. The spoilers are here for the television show tomorrow. So we know the matchups are a little bit different, right?
They were definitely a little bit different than what had been predicted last week.
What we agreed on, most of some things we disagree on.
So we'll discuss that. Then CJ Hurt's going to join the program. The Michigan Wolverines with a big win in Lincoln, Nebraska over the weekend. We'll talk to him about that and more. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But as mentioned, Saturday at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, the Memphis Tigers knock off the Arkansas Razorbacks 32-31. And I said this, I think, on X, the Everything app. It is shocking to me how similar the scripts are for when Memphis beats an SEC team. Like, it typically feels like it happens at 11 a.m.
Yep.
And
very soon, ABC.
It's a game that usually feels like Memphis has been trailing, and to the point where you kind of think, like, they look overmatched. And then lo and behold, it just flips. There's usually like a weird, wacky touchdown or something. There's usually a play that happens that completely flips the game. And then all the credit to the Tigers, because to me, this whole game was kind of defined by what they did on third down and really what they did to Arkansas on third downs, because Arkansas was not very good on third downs. And then there's two massive plays. The fumble and
the biggest of play. Yeah, that's the biggest.
And then, I mean, to me, honestly, I think the third down run is every bit as big, because I was convinced that at least if Arkansas got the ball back, it was going to be about a minute 10.
Yeah.
I was convinced they were going to get into field goal range. And then
definitely possible.
Do they miss the kick? So the only way to actually end the football game was to do what you did. And then it happens with Brennan Lewis's helmet getting knocked off, so he's got to come out for a play. You've got to put a backup quarterback in to run the ball, and it looks like it stopped initially, and he just would not be denied. Fights for the first down, ball game. And so to me, it's a credit to them, because when they went down 18, I looked it up. This didn't include this week's games, but it was in the last three seasons, teams that trailed by 18 or more in the second quarter were 199-2. Or teams that led by 18 or more in the second quarter were 199-2. So,
wow.
I mean, this is a historic
largest comeback,
type comeback
of the season in college football. 18 points. Memphis got the largest comeback, and it was awesome watching it on ABC. I enjoyed it from the comfort of my own couch, air conditioning. There, you know.
There were a lot of other games on too.
I was able to switch channels, and I was able to take a little nap during halftime.
There you go.
But if you watch that game, wherever you're watching that game, you left watching that game believing. I text you this, Jeffrey. I feel like the perception of Memphis has been a big topic about the city itself, you know, this year.
100%.
But like, for this football team, the perception of this football team nationally now is at a level that it needs to be. And I've been preaching on the radio, like, this team needs to come across as a big deal and the best team that's not in the power conferences. And Memphis always acts like it. They have the budget that's bigger, but like, and act like you're bigger and better, but you can't get the job done. And right now they're once again in position where everybody's believing them. So if Silverfield is able to lead this team to a conference championship this year, like, it will matter so much more than actually what is happening on the field. You're going to have so many locked-in Memphis Tiger football fans going forward beyond this season. You're going to have the attention. The announcers on this, like, it was...
They were definitely putting the Tigers over.
They were putting the Tigers over. To borrow a term from wrestling, and Joe Test was on the call, right? Test Tor, who does WWE announcing, was the play-by-play guy on this. And then you had a reality show guy, Jesse Palmer, now the host of The Bachelor, right?
He was also speaking French for a while.
he's on the call. So you have two guys who are really good. I want them to call every Memphis game after this past Saturday.
He had in a boat that reminds me. like, oh, yeah, yes. He's Canadian.
Yes.
Like, he had it. Because, like, normally he's very good at, like, having kind of announcer voice. But, like, it was funny because it was right after he had just got done speaking Canadian, French-Canadian. And then he dropped in a boat. And I was like, oh, yeah, I just sometimes you just forget dude's Canadian.
Right. But they did just such a great job, as you put, putting over, right? That's what a job of a wrestling announcer is, a wrestling announcer myself, right? Your job is there to, you, if you're calling wrestling matches, you're looking and you're trying to make everything that's happening in front of you look important. That's a lot of the ways, too, with sports announcing, too. You want to keep the interest of the game, right? But they really, like, if you watch this game and you have not followed anything going on with Memphis, you believe that Ryan Silverfield, I mean, they were saying things like he is the most underrated coach in college football, right? Like, that's being said on the broadcast, that he is positioning himself for a power job. That's being said on the broadcast. Like, and it's... that Memphis obviously is the favorite. Yeah, quite often the favorite from the non-power leagues to make the playoffs was said multiple times on the broadcast. But the hype and the excitement—they
were big on that graphic.
Yes,
that percentage graphic.
The percentage graphic—they slapped it on some Peabody ducks swimming around at the. You know,
that was a good duck animation.
Was it a great duck animation? I love the when my daughter came back in the room. I was like, "You missed the cartoon ducks." You know, I said, like, oh.
"The ducks are the best."
But did. They could not have gone better for Memphis. Obviously, getting the win, getting it that way on ABC set up. Because we talk about historically Memphis getting all these wins against at 11 a.m., right? These big wins at 11 a.m.
Yep.
quite often on ABC. But none of those have really happened during this new era, right? Because it was last year's the only one. So we did have the Florida State game was at 11 o'clock.
And that was on the road. Yeah. There's just a difference. There's a difference when it's a home and it's a seminal day, because I do think you're right. We've been talking about this with the, you know, a lot of the negative attention right now about the city. I do think something that helps is when you have an event and everybody goes and it's a great day, it's nice to share that moment of, man, wasn't this a great day? Because it motivates you to get out again.
Right. The own personal, like, pride in the city is enhanced, but also the outside public perception of the city can be swayed by these moments. And not just the city, but also just talking about the University of Memphis by itself for a minute, which is trying to get on the other side of the fence and into a power league. I believe the best thing that Memphis can do right now is win at football and consistently make a push for that college football playoff, because it's not the most important thing. Yes, it's not. Being good at football is not going to guarantee you a spot in there, but it sure helped Cincinnati and Louisville being great at football at the time that their realignment came. So being the best you can be at football is the best thing Memphis can do, because they've tried everything else. They've tried to buy their way into another conference. They've tried everything else. The best that they could do, if you got some money, be great at football. And right now they're being great at football, and they're the best projected team now going into the remainder of the season with a schedule that just looks – you couldn't ask for a better schedule. The question is, will there – you know, what will the positioning be? Because I got some beeps with the top 25 and stuff, because I do think it matters that the Tigers are not in the top 25. I mean, I was on the radio last week saying they wouldn't be if they won, because that's...
It's hard to crack it when you don't beat another ranked team and you're unranked.
Yes. That's true. Unless you're Notre Dame, you don't have to beat anybody.
Correct.
To be in it. You can have zero wins.
I didn't look. How much do they move up?
I think they only moved one or two spots on each poll, but Notre Dame definitely still ranked. Who got in? Who won? So the wins this week was TCU.
So TCU gets in. TCU gets in with their win over SMU, and the final score was not indicative of how much better I thought.
But
TCU looked over SMU.
Where was the rank?
SMU was unranked, but
okay. All right, well, then let's go. What's the other jump in? But
TCU's had high-profile, like, wins. Like,
and BYU jumped in, right? And then they just beat East Carolina, which we just talked about on the...
But they also filleted them. Like, that was what everyone thought, like, trap spot. And BYU's been one of those teams that was, like, preseason on the cusp of being a top 25 team. And so, like, they're just ahead in the pecking order.
It does, like, at the end of the day, to make the college football playoffs and succeed in the goals that I'm talking about, they don't need to be in the top 25. But I'm looking at from the, like, I want everything, right? I want all the momentum.
Yeah,
I want all the fan excitement.
The other thing you have to remember is this, though. If they keep handling their business, A, they'll be ranked. But the other aspect of it is, here's when they'll definitely be ranked. If they get to the first playoff ranking reveal show undefeated, they're going to be ranked in that poll. And so if they're not ranked in the AP poll, what ends up happening is it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? But then the AP poll starts to reflect the playoff poll.
Sure. Yeah. No, I know it's eventually going to happen, but I'm looking at it from, like, let's get game day back here perspective, right? Like, it's going to be hard to get game day back if you're not ranked. And it's going to be hard. You got to be in the top 25, right? So let's get – can we get game day for the South Florida game or the Tulane game down the road? And they're going to be ranked by then, more than likely.
Aren't those both Friday nights?
Are they? Oh, geez, are they both Friday nights? This is an issue of being in the American, right? It prevents you from truly reaching the heights. Both of them, one of them is, I know, at least one.
So USF is Saturday.
Rice is the other Friday night game. Yeah.
But it goes back to back. That's what I was trying to think of. They play at Rice on Friday night on Halloween, and then they return home the following Friday and host Tulane.
Tulane's up. So the South Florida game is the...
The 25th, and that's a Saturday.
That's a Saturday game. So the Tulane-Memphis game being... could be lined up for some game day. I don't know what else is happening.
I'll look.
Those other weekends. So, but if that's on a Friday, it can't be. So we're talking, so it's South Florida, Memphis would have to be the weekend. South Florida, not in the top 25, right? Like there's no power,
they're still in the fringes though. Like they still have the chance. All right, here are the other games.
And
now.
It's going to depend on what Miami does, right? If Miami continues just to run the table and be impressive, is that how South Florida gets back in while they continue to win as well?
Yep,
I think you need both of those things to happen.
I mean, they have to keep winning. They have to keep winning, obviously. They have to do their part.
But Miami,
correct.
If Miami does their part, which it looks like they look in all type of ways, like they will, but.
Here are the big games that week. Texas A&M at LSU. So there's, you know, they could be, if they're undefeated on that weekend, that's probably where they're going. I have no faith in Wisconsin. Are we writing them off, everybody? Okay.
Yeah.
So Wisconsin, Oregon, I don't have high hopes for. Ole Miss at Oklahoma could be a very big one.
Did they already have one in Norman?
They did have one in Norman.
And they kind of avoided Oklahoma this past weekend
I think, they looked at Miami's schedule. Like, they know they're probably going to Tallahassee next week for Florida State, Miami.
Sure.
But it didn't have, like, another key home game. Yeah. And so they were like, well, if Miami's going to be a part of the story, they wanted to do that. So Ole Miss at Oklahoma, but to your point, they've already been to Norman. They went week two. Texas at Mississippi State. You also have BYU at Iowa State that week. Bama at Carolina. Big playoff, maybe a playoff eliminator. Missouri at Vandy. Michigan State.
One always gets kind of weird.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right, you know, I'm saying this. If you look at it,
it's possible if there's an A&M.
It's not impossible.
If there's an A&M or Bama game that they, or so A&M LSU. So one of those, if they go to one of those before, right, there could be another spot on the schedule that makes sense because they try to.
So with A&M, let's see. We know they're not going this week to Auburn. They have Mississippi State.
Is this LSU or A&M?
I'm looking at A&M right now.
I'll look at LSU.
Florida at Arkansas. I do not see an A&M game.
LSU this weekend in Oxford, next weekend hosting South Carolina,
nope.
So I don't see that.
Nope.
And then at Vandy, and then you have hosting A&M. So,
and then you also have to look at the rest of the way. So their other remaining home games after that would be Arkansas and Western Kentucky.
So if they want to get to Baton Rouge,
correct,
it would probably have to be South Carolina or A&M.
And I think they would wait for the A&M game.
I think the A&M, yeah. So it looks like it's going to be hard anyway, because if we got LSU,
but it's not impossible.
If
they're both going, it's not impossible. But that would be the only date. So Memphis would be needing to be in the top 25. But
right, let me double check because the Navy game is on Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
And then you want to talk about that East Carolina game is like the trap of trap games.
If
they get to Tulane and they're undefeated, that and then you go to Greenville the next week with an open date before Navy, like, oh my God, that is such a trap spot. Although, I thought it was a trap spot for BYU, and BYU handled business. And I think, to me, like, that's kind of the larger takeaway from this right now, is that they control their own destiny.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Like, that's the reality of it. I also thought it was a little interesting. Did y'all see on the graphic hardest remaining game for Memphis?
It was the ECU game, was it not?
At ECU.
It was the ECU game. I think somebody didn't know what they were doing.
I mean, I think it's all based on FPI, and like that was what I was trying to see. I know the other two games are at home.
Well, that, I guess that's great. The Memphis, that's another hard game on the schedule. I didn't realize. I know you consider it a trap game. I didn't consider it a hard game.
Yeah, no, that was a very different thing for me.
That's their hardest game on the road? Is that what it's going to be for sure? I guess
it said toughest remaining game, but I was sitting there going, no, their toughest remaining game is going to be Tulane at home, and then their next toughest game is going to be USF at home.
Right, especially Tulane being,
Navy's a Friday night. Navy's not a slouch either, and Blake Horvath is still playing pretty darn good football. Like,
correct.
That's not just a cake.
The problem with Navy is they played three games. We have no idea.
That's true.
By the way, we got a little option special this week. Navy at Rice. Rice is running the option.
It actually looks pretty good doing it, too.
Yeah. Well, Charlotte has a tendency, to make everybody look that good.
So how did the stat hold up for the weekend as far as the American Conference? Because this can do so much, right? This team just winning a few games, which Memphis has done, right? Four games now, 4-0. And is... It also, like, it's convincing me that, okay, yeah, staying in the American, not a bad deal. This time last year, we were talking about going to the Pac-12 necessary it was.
I think what needed to happen is what happened this year, where last year you had this idea of, okay, the league has lost Cincinnati, the league's lost UCF, the league's lost Houston. Those are three big names. Those are three programs that are good. What is the rest of the league going to look like? And last year, I think everybody started watching Boise, and it also helped that UNLV with Barry, they had a good year. Everyone started turning their attention to the Mountain West. Now this year, it's inescapable when you watch the Mountain West. You're like, oh my God, the league is bad. And then on top of that, the American, I think what was the other stat they kept promoting during the broadcast? It's like the American has more wins against power leagues out of conference, I think, than everyone basically except like the SEC.
Right, more than the ACC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I know that stat. The American is looking great, too. The Tigers are helping elevate that with help from Tulane. Obviously, earlier in the season, it was South Florida who was carrying the flag of the conference in a way. So I got to watch those American commercials a little bit differently, you know? I'm like, all right. Because we already know, like, the facts that are out there is that Memphis is, as much as it sucks to have the schedule and non-exciting games on there, right? We were debating East Carolina. But we knew the fact that Memphis has the easier route to the college football playoffs than if they were in a power conference. And, I mean, that fact remaining now, the fact that you're in maybe the best conference you should be in outside of it. In the American, at least for...
Yeah, I also think that it's going to be very volatile. I think as long as you have... The other thing I'm watching is North Texas, because North Texas is a school that has at least growth potential, and if they start to invest in their product, like, that's a school that could be very good. But it's a matter of you need Memphis to continue to invest, Tulane continue to invest, and then South Florida, and then as long as you can get a fourth, I think you're probably gonna be in that spot, because when I look at the Mountain West, all right, I'm just looking at possibilities, and now it's like, I guess the other question would be is like, what is the Pac-12 starting next year? And I don't really know, because as of right now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, UNLV's not going.
Not to my knowledge, but I mean, even to that point, that goes the other way as well, with a lot of those teams from the Mountain West leaving the conference.
Correct.
What does that as a conference turn into? I mean, they're essentially picking up schools from like Big Sky to fill in.
Well, I mean, wasn't Sacramento State one of the ads?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Didn't they just get to FBS?
Now they claim that they're spending.
I was about to say, I'm sure it's been a couple years, but still.
No, like, I think they're literally jumping up
to join.
Correct.
Wow.
Because I don't think they're in a league right now.
Look, I follow all this very closely and talk about this on the radio. I mean, and so my perceptions have changed. So I know the average fan out there, the perception is shifting. I don't know how much attention they were paying attention before Saturday. And how much?
I need to correct the record. They have more than the ACC and the Big Ten, but not the Big 12. The Big 12 has eight.
The Big 12 has
the Big 12 the Big has 10 eight. And ACC. Eight Power Four wins out of conference.
I mean, it's an impressive.
The
stat.
American has six.
It also just helps, right? The idea of all of that perception and jumping into the playoffs, if Memphis is able to get there, like there's a respect for the league on top of it and not just getting a spot because they're getting a spot.
Yes.
Which is really what it is at the end of the day.
Also, yes, we're correct. UNLV is not currently
there was a Nevada. Remember, there's a political angle because they wanted to bring UNLV, but they didn't want to invite Nevada.
Yeah, and
then UNLV cut like a deal with the league to remain. And I mean, honestly, I think there's a real question of like, what is this new Pac-12?
And it's kind of interesting too, like looking at it, because I went just to their website and see that they're also weirdly adding more than a handful of schools as specific sport universities. Gonzaga is going as basketball only,
I believe.
They're adding Southern Utah for gymnastics. They're adding Dallas Baptist, but just for baseball.
They're dropping the Baptist. They want to be.
This is from August, and it's still
the Houston Christian. That's look, their new deal. That's just happened.
Really, they're changing it from DBU.
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake. DBU.
No, you're right. Houston Baptist is now Houston Christian. Dallas Baptist is keeping the Baptist.
Yeah, it's DBU going to the Pac-12 for just baseball. Right. Just baseball, though.
Hand up.
But like. That's interesting to me in that clearly to me they're just trying to scratch up also like as many programs as they can to affiliate with them.
Got to get creative in this current climate that we're in with conference realignment.
To get as much money as possible. You're spot on.
Right.
Like that's it's.
Get bring in what they're good at, right? I'd bring in Gonzaga. If I was picking one sport, I'd be the basketball. Yes, let's go.
But that was one of the ones they picked up like initially.
Right. And it started the idea.
And yeah.
I can already see issues are going to happen there because I think Gonzaga is going to get a full membership share
but
without football. So, I mean.
Okay. That's.
There are lots of aspects at play of whether or not the American in perpetuity remains the best option. Number one, is it always going to be like this? I don't know. I do think as long as the system resembles largely what it is now, which is the conferences rather than an upstart, I think that they're so afraid of getting sued that they're going to allow the access.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree. So also from Saturday, interesting note, and we're not going to get political here. We might later with some Bruce Pearl stuff, but like, is the governor allowed to cheer on the Tigers or not on Saturday? Did you see the Governor Bill Lee's tweet? Congratulations on the big 4-0 start for Memphis football. Great things are happening in the Bluff City. And it's like, wait, that's not what you were saying the other day. What's going on?
I mean, he did hand over a pretty sizable check so they can get a new stadium.
Oh, so he's a fan.
Another new half of the stadium.
All right.
I'm just saying.
He is a fan of the Tiger football team.
That construction project does not happen without the state money.
Well, of course, and it should, but they should share it, right? Everybody, it should have been shared anyway. We should be giving something to.
I'm fine with him
every section
the school.
Of the state. But great things are happening in the Bluff City. Seems a little interesting timing of the week.
Well, I mean, I guess if you want to take it,
well, is the great thing the National Guard's coming as well?
I guess
that's what it is. Okay, I'm just asking questions.
City's on the rise, baby.
It's on the rise. But I'm wondering, did it just flip his opinion? Maybe the National Guard's not coming. Maybe. He sees the game and sees the crowd, and everything went smoothly.
Or maybe he's not even the one in charge of that.
Well, I mean, he's involved. He has to approve it, right?
Like,
he has to approve.
Correct.
That's the part of the reason why they're coming.
Correct.
The governor's got to ask for the national.
But the leader of his party is the one asking.
Sure. Great. Yeah. But, you know, maybe everything's great. I was just curious.
City on the rise.
Great things are happening in the Bluff City, according to the governor. That's great.
What else did you have from the notebook?
I'm really wanting to look at the playoff scenarios. Can we look at those for a second?
All
since
right,
Memphis
so,
is in the playoff. The so, season ended today. Memphis is going to be in the playoffs.
So right now, according to ESPN's FPI, Memphis with a 36% chance of making the playoff. It's higher than any Big 12 team. The next closest Big 12 team would be Texas Tech at 32%, and BYU followed closely, I think, at 30%. So, I mean, it's basically pretty simple right now. It's win the conference and you're probably getting that spot. Now, I do not think there's a path for them without winning the conference.
Well, they, yeah. I mean, can they slip up? Here's my, that's my question.
I think
for
they
you
can
right
slip
now.
Up as they, long as they win they the league. Up?
So as long as they win it all.
Correct.
As far as the league. Because that's going to be, because South Florida has a loss now.
But not in league.
But Tulane has, but they have an L, like a.
Correct. But they also, they also have two wins that will at least help them.
Right. So does Memphis need, Memphis needs, obviously they have one loss. They're probably going to lose to Tulane. Or South Florida, or now apparently East Carolina,
or Navy. I mean, that's
or
the
Navy,
that's,
right? That's the one that
that's
can't
the,
forget about Navy.
Well, and
we,
also
we
I
do
mean,
keep forgetting about Navy.
They had they made the game way closer than it had to be, but like North Texas jumped up on Army 21-0. They came back and won in overtime, but like that is another team that's now in the mix. And so the reason why I bring all that up is we could be in this scenario where a bunch of teams are either 7-1 and 6-2, and now we're starting to familiarize ourselves with the American rule breakers or tiebreakers.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. But no, so if the playoffs are going on, I looked up some projections this morning, Jeffrey.
So you had your ESPN wins.
I like bracketology in March, right? You want to know what kind of seed is the Tigers going to get? So apparently if Memphis made the playoffs, they're going to get a 12 seed. They're going to get a 12 seed.
I think it's likely the American. Now, you always have to leave room for wackiness in the Pac or in the not in the Pac 12 wackiness in the Big 12. But
you think it's possible they get it better than a 12?
I think it's highly unlikely. But if you wind up with a bunch of 9-3 teams that end up playing for the Big 12 title, it's possible.
Okay,
I think it's unlikely, but it's possible.
So ESPN's projections have a number 12 Memphis as the American champion for the playoffs. These games are going to be played on campus December 19th and 20th. It'd be Memphis at number 5 LSU.
A little Tiger on Tiger matchup.
Tiger versus Tiger. Memphis heading
who
to
who plays Tiger Rag better?
Baton Rouge. My goodness, that would be huge. Tigers would definitely win that one.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yahoo's got a number 12 Memphis. Of course, Memphis is going to be involved as the road team, right? No matter what happens, they'd be on the road.
Yeah, I think that is fair to say. They're hitting the road. Do I feel 1,000% confident they're going to be the 12 seed? No, just because there's enough that could happen. But
I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying. Like, this is goals, right? This is goals. Like, the Tigers, they got to start winning these games by some bigger point differentials than they're doing. I know they're covering the spread, but like, look, I like the goal of being the non-power team to make the playoffs in a better than 12 seed situation.
It is a beauty contest.
Yeah. But they get, so Yahoo's got Memphis versus Georgia in the open round. So Memphis would be going down and playing the number 5 Georgia. Let's see. Then we've got
USA Today had Oregon.
UCLA had Oregon. Woo, that's a. We didn't want to make those flights, right? It's got to act like it's too far to be heading out that direction, but would have
that's
to go
a
play
tough
the Ducks
one,
out there.
Because I think for Eugene, I guess you fly into Portland and then bus from, take a car.
Is that how you do that one?
I think it's about an hour, hour and a half.
All right, so which one of those three, Jeffrey, right now, if we had to pick, those are three projected matchups right now. Which one would you rather see?
I think the fan base would rather play LSU, right? Because that's a reasonable car trip for everyone. Like Athens isn't.
Yeah, Georgia's fine though, right?
It's fine, but it is a longer trip. Like,
which one would? Man, like,
I think most people,
game quality, like the experience of LSU, you want to get that in there, right?
I think most fans would say Tiger Stadium at night.
That's my initial thought as well.
Tiger
also,
versus Tiger.
I would not want to go into Athens.
I would not want to travel to Oregon.
I also would not want to go see Oregon.
Definitely don't want to get Oregon. But that's what I feel like is probably going to happen.
Literally,
so,
Georgia's,
you know,
not
like
lost at
Memphis
home this decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's a factual statement.
There you go. So we're right now cheering for the Tigers versus Tigers situation. But it's always going to change. I think Memphis's spot, if they make it, doesn't change much, right? Obviously, it's going to be 12. Jeffrey thinks there's a scenario where it could happen. They could be 11.
Highly unlikely, but there is a...
but there's a scenario they could be 11.
Correct.
But the number 5 is going to be traded out, like as we see the SEC play.
And it's also important to note, there's not the championship angle anymore. It's now just straight seeded 1 through 12. So,
right, it doesn't matter.
Even if the 12th team is ranked 18th, that's like they just bump them up. Whoever the highest ranked 5th conference champion, which is likely to be the American champion, that person takes the 12 spot, then it's just seeded based on the rankings.
Because Boise was seeded like four or something.
Right, because Boise was Boise was seeded three, correct?
Three.
Because they were the next to last highest ranked conference champion.
And Arizona State was seeded four because Arizona State was like 19th in the final ranking.
But they won the Big 12.
Correct.
Yeah. It was such a joke. Such a joke.
And you had to get one of the top four seeds, you had to win your league. So Texas wound up as the five seed, even though I think Texas was,
Were they ranked like two?
I think they were in
the
top four because their only losses that year were to Georgia by three in overtime. And then I don't remember what the final ended up being, 10, 12, whatever it was.
We don't see Boise jumping back into the play here.
Boise's going to have a situation where, like, the American has the champion has multiple losses that are bad. Like, Boise's just going to be really fighting uphill when you get smoked like that week one. Even though it's week one and weird results happen, like, we cannot forget that they played USF and got beat 31-7.
Right. Can't forget that. There was
I was going to say, that's also a situation thing where they're playing what likely could be one of the better teams in the conference, like the direct competition.
Correct.
Right.
Like it's a true, there will be a.
Someone will have to say.
There will be a common opponent element.
Yeah.
We want to keep track of this. So I think it's a public service. We're going to keep track of the potential matchups for Memphis while they're still in it. I think we got to focus on bracketology and the projections here on Mondays. Coming out of these weekends. But I know we got to take a break, Jeffrey. There's breaking news on what is happening with Jimmy Kimmel. We'll talk about that
during the TV timeout.
TV timeout when we come back.
Right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, Kevin, we got our TV timeout.
And we're going to begin the TV timeout, you said, with an update about Jimmy Kimmel Live. But how can there be an update? I thought it was canceled forever.
No, it's coming back, apparently. Statement from Disney this afternoon, quote, "Last Wednesday, we made the decision to suspend production on the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation at an emotional moment in our country. It is a decision we made because we felt some of the comments were ill-timed and thus insensitive. We have spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy, and after those conversations, we reached the decision to return the show on Tuesday." So tomorrow night, Jimmy Kimmel Live will return to ABC.
So I guess the other aspect of this is, like, I feel like anytime you have an issue like this where the right clearly has a stance and the left clearly has a stance, I always just come back to, like, can we establish, like, what is true? And this one, because remember, the initial reaction when Colbert was canceled or whatever, not renewed, they said it'd be at the end of the run, it would be, everyone did the same thing of, this is censorship, whatnot. And then it turned out, now granted, there's still the merger aspect for CBS with Skydance and whatnot. There were still other things at play. But really what it came down to was the show cost a lot of money. It wasn't making a lot of money, and they were moving on.
I mean, that's what they say. But it was the high. If you're not making money off your highest rated, the highest rated late night show, how are the other people making money off of it?
Well, I think I think the right overplayed this hand. They should just let this one. They should. These things are, as someone who, like, at one point in time, like, his dream job was to host one of these shows. These things are dying. Like, they have.
No, they absolutely are dying. But and this is a more issue that should not be left or right. It's a free speech issue. And there was even Ted Cruz and other senators have come out against
Ted Cruz on his own podcast
he came out very forcefully against this decision because of the handling of how it was considered a threat from the FCC to remove this program. So that's mainly the problem, more so than canceling the show or going away. It was how it was very publicly handled
much of the FCC was just theater.
I mean, I don't know, but what's going to be it? I mean, the story's obviously not over. The show is coming back, so, you know, people can, that have, like Howard Stern, who have canceled their Disney Plus, can reactivate it now, and I guess you probably need Hulu, or really need an antenna. But I watched ABC over the weekend, and I will watch ABC tomorrow night to see what Kimmel has to say when he returns, because it's definitely has been one of the biggest stories. You should be able to, you know, to speak freely in this country without being bullied and tried to remove off the air. And you know, Jeffrey, you do this every day. You talk for 4 hours on the radio. You're going to slip up and say something. It's going to be misinterpreted what you're saying, or you don't say it the right way that you should have said it. And, you know, you need to be given the benefit of the doubt in those situations. So everybody on all sides. So,
yeah, no, I mean, I thought this was a wild power, like, misstep by the right.
But here we are. Jimmy's coming back, and we'll see what he has to say. See how he apologizes, if he apologizes, tomorrow. But
all right. So now we've also got.
Well, we got some sports TV news.
Well, I want to stay with the family of Disney.
All right.
So we were discussing last week who was going to be able to have access to ESPN's new app for WrestlePalooza.
Yes, WrestlePalooza debuted over the weekend.
Correct. So
you did not have access.
I knew that when they launched the app, DirecTV customers that were DirecTV Stream customers were immediately eligible to use their access from that. What's been confusing for me is I can access games using my DirecTV login, but I have linear DirecTV. I have satellite. I do not have Stream. And so I've been able to use the app, whatnot, and then on Saturday night at 6 p.m., when I tried to fire up WrestlePalooza.
You didn't try that hard, right? There was a lot of good games still happening. There was a lot going on.
Well, that was kind of in that weird, like, in-between. We hadn't quite kicked off Miami yet. Right. Like, some of those after. Basically, the only game that was still going on that was competitive down the stretch was
But you have
Auburn.
So many screens.
Right,
so was, one screen just, could be West
correct.
WrestlePalooza.
Yeah. I wanted to check in, and then I'm greeted with the website that, whatever, it sends you to a QR code,
and then you scroll down on the QR code and you realize, as a DirecTV Linear subscriber, I still do not have access. So I did not get to watch WrestlePalooza, and it seemed to me a lot of people that thought they were going to have access to WrestlePalooza did not.
Right. And what I noticed this weekend from that is watching, because, you know, this is watching commercial season is what I like to call football season, because I'm watching more live sports right now than I do any other time during the year. So I'm watching a lot of commercials. And that ESPN is really, what has really confused me, Jeffrey, you've noticed this. We talked about this app coming out. The ESPN app was coming out, and it was going to be $30 a month. But all the commercials are promoting, you can get the app plus Disney plus Hulu for $30 a month, which is actually does not sound like a bad deal.
And then
when you're not boycotting,
is that separate from the, if you want to add Fox One?
That's separate. If you can pay $30 a month and get Disney plus Hulu and ESPN Unlimited, which is what they're calling it. So I think if the word you need to look for to know if you have what you need to have is, do you have access to ESPN Unlimited, which is all of the ESPN. That seems to be the phrase. There's like these John Cena commercials. You can get all three. I know somebody.
Well, the other problem
who
is
upgraded they had the Hulu Disney package.
Okay, but
upgraded it to get ESPN Unlimited for like $9 extra.
Here's the issue that I have. I am at some point going to have access with my DirecTV.
You should, yes. Everybody with a cable provider should be able to get it.
So I was in that spot of, am I really going to tack on more? Because I've also been told, like, some of this stuff's not super easy to cancel when you upgrade.
Oh, no.
And so I just decided, I was like, I guess I'm just going to follow along and I'll watch on YouTube. If the matches were good, it turned out they really weren't, then I would just watch at a later date. But I did not have access. And I do feel like that's a big problem with this, is so many people don't know whether or not they have this.
And I think it's going to get solved. But at the current moment, yeah, for sure, people don't know, and because they don't. So if you still have YouTube TV, I believe you don't have access. Comcast customers don't have access, and who knows how much of that is still out of, you know, are they a little heated because they lost WWE? Who knows?
Well, I don't understand. What makes no sense to me is I need someone to explain to me contractually why George has DirecTV Stream.
Yeah, well, I don't understand.
I need someone to explain to me, is it because of digital rights?
Well, the DirecTV Stream used to be called like AT&T something, or was it?
So, no, AT&T U-verse was...
still a thing.
Correct, but that is different. So, AT&T originally bought DirecTV, and then they bought it, I think, for like $15 billion and sold it for $1 billion. So, an all-time great deal. but there's still like loose connections between AT&T and DirecTV, even though they've sold it.
Right. And then, so I think we'll figure that out. But this is the one, like, this was the twist that I didn't realize. Well, a lot of it was like, be patient. If you have cable, you're going to get it. But a lot of us do not have cable. And when we say cable, it also means internet cable now, which is Hulu cable or YouTube cable or Sling cable. Like, those count as cable now. This is without the cable. So you don't really have the cord. You don't have a cord, but you do have cable. And the other people who just use streaming services and watch stuff over the air, you now have this option, at least for a moment, to get what was essentially almost the old Disney bundle of getting ESPN Plus, but instead of ESPN Plus, you're getting actually a useful product that shows real games on it and ESPN Unlimited. So there are deals out there you can find your way to get ESPN Unlimited. If you currently do not have ESPN access, look into those bundle deals. If you were boycotting Disney, Jimmy Kimmel's coming back, but now you might, if you were not, vice versa, now are you starting your boycott of Disney because Jimmy Kimmel's coming back? It might complicate
things.
Right,
have we flipped
I don't know.
Have we flipped who's boycotting?
I don't know. But let's talk about WrestlePalooza for a minute, right? This is a brand new event that WWE created for this particular weekend to go head-to-head with AEW, and AEW moved their show to the middle of the day. They're one of their biggest pay-per-views of the year, and it seemed to do great numbers. They were very happy with how their show went. So, and they might actually start doing more shows in the middle of the day with how well that went. But it doesn't seem like WrestlePalooza went that well. I was unable to access it. I've watched some clips and read some reviews, and the one review that really stuck out from WWE WrestlePalooza was the fact that ESPN themselves, the individual who reviewed it for ESPN.com, gave the first ever show, WWE premium live event on the ESPN network, gave it a C grade. A C grade How are you bringing a C show for your debut on ESPN? A show that was graded a C by your bias. I'm going to say everybody at ESPN is biased. Well, right? We're on ESPN right now. But this guy works for the, like, you got to at least get a little bit of fluffier benefit of the doubt review from your parent company's website.
Well, I was wondering, though, if it was one of those situations where they're so hypersensitive about clearly being in business together.
You think they're giving an unfair grade?
Well, do you give up? No, it seems to me like they actually gave out a fair grade.
From
the people I know that watched the show.
It was not great. The card looked great going into it.
Correct.
It had big names. I never was interested in the Brock Lesnar versus John Cena match. And once again, as we talk, veer off and talk about Cena's final year, this is Cena's last year wrestling, and they wasted one of his appearances, Jeffrey. This is a waste. This was a total waste of his appearance. If it was just Cena versus Brock to try to boost buy rates, that's whatever. But they did another Cena squash where Lesnar won. It did nobody any favors. Nobody wants to see dominant Lesnar right now. What's the point of Cena losing to Lesnar at this point of his career with like five more dates left? It was another waste of Cena. Does Triple H hate Cena? What is the booking going on here? Cena's final year I could not be botched any worse than it's been. There's not a moment that you've liked, Jeffrey. There's not.
No, I mean, well, that's not true. I thought
what, something with R-Truth, but there was terrible stuff with R-Truth.
Yeah, but like I thought the SummerSlam match with Cody was awesome.
Okay.
But to your point, that's the whole botched face heel thing.
Like correcting their errors and yeah.
The match in Paris was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a great, as watching it, it was a great match.
But the heel turn in general and then wasting a date here with the Brock Lesnar. And what a waste. It reminded me a lot of when WWE went to Fox. When WWE moves back down to over the air on Fox, it was supposed to be this big moment for professional wrestling. Like you're going over the air on network television in prime time. And what do they do on that first show? Kofi Kingston, the champion at the time, gets squashed by Brock Lesnar in like record time. Like it was a super short match. And it made all the regular fans mad. It didn't do anything to get any new fans interested. I think a lot of people were, you can't miss it on Saturday. So watching all these games, seeing all the wrestlers arrive to the building and give their predictions on football games throughout all these ESPN and ABC broadcasts. Like it's great for WWE that they got the deal, but man, oh man, did they not deliver. They did not deliver on Saturday. If you were new to wrestling and say, I'm going to try wrestling again, because there's so many nobody's really new to wrestling, especially in this market. You're a lapsed fan who was checking back in on it.
We all have periods where you get away from wrestling.
Nothing on this show really brought you back. I didn't say, oh man, I got to keep watching or I got to keep paying $30 a month for this app that I never had before for ESPN Unlimited.
I just feel like the whole rollout of this thing has been poor.
Well, it was rushed slightly because it was supposed to come out next year and they moved it up.
And it's just to me like everything about this ESPN app.
We don't know. We don't know what's going on.
Correct. And I'm also very confused at why did they end up launching it? Because a lot of the stuff that they're trying to, like, you can see where they're going with it.
Well, they're trying to,
but it's not there yet.
The ESPN app, they're trying to get people who have completely cut out cable. I don't like using cut the cord word anymore, but cut out cable because the people who use YouTube TV.
How is this any different than people
TV,
that subscribe
the cable
to the ESPN to the bundle?
Well, ESPN Plus did not give you regular ESPN.
But like, you had the, like, but you could
you
do
would
the,
get that and you could watch the Tigers play ECU or something.
I thought with the Hulu, if you did the Hulu ESPN Disney Plus bundle, I thought you could watch ESPN. I thought you couldn't watch ABC.
If you had Hulu, we're getting to the weeds here on the. If you had Hulu Live, is what you're talking about. The main bundle doesn't have the live television element, so if you're getting the Hulu Disney ESPN bundle, you can't watch cable on that. You can watch the ESPN games, I guess, live, but that's it. You can't watch the, like, Hulu Live is the Hulu cable, which is the premium thing on that, which you could watch ESPN via that, I'm guessing. There's a lot of brands that the Disney's juggling right now, and they got distracted with a national story they didn't expect to have last week. But
it's just like the fact that they were just shoving it down our throats all weekend, and then it's like it felt like
you don't know for sure if you can access it.
Correct.
And just watch it on this app. Maybe they were hoping people would buy it, but the problem is if you went out of your pocket to buy this, this was not a great debut event. for them to roll out. There should have been more exciting matches. There should have been some type of something that happened that would be remembered historically. And the Brock Cena thing was not that. If they thought that was going to be it, that was just such, again, a rematch, just brought back memories of.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.